to the Heart of Our Messianic Ministries audio presentation of the devotional study series entitled The First Regathering, Modern Israel. In this portion of our study, Heart of Our Messianic Ministries Director, Pastor Bob Morris, will focus on key scriptures that illuminate the biblical significance of the modern state of Israel. The First Regathering is an event unprecedented in the annals of humanity and crucial to your understanding of the Bible. Following the teaching session, you'll be given information explaining how to contact Heart of Our Messianic Ministries with your questions and order additional resources. Now let's begin lesson number 2 with an introduction to the class. Here's Pastor Bob Morris.
We left off last session by starting into a topic known as the Palestinian or Land Covenant. The Land Covenant being my preferred name for what's going on in Scripture here. We looked at the Land Covenant, and we said that it was found in Deuteronomy chapters 29 and 30, the emphasis being on the land itself, a development of the land blessing section of the Abrahamic Covenant. So it's related very closely and intimately to the Abrahamic Covenant. We began by looking at Deuteronomy 29 verse 1, which stated that the Land Covenant was a different covenant from the Mosaic Covenant and a unique covenant unto itself. Then we drop down to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 28, and we looked at the threat of worldwide judgment that was going to come as a result of Israel habitually and constantly violating the Mosaic Covenant. The Gentiles give a reason why the land is abandoned and why the land is so desolate, because the Lord had uprooted Israel from the land because of disobedience. Then we move on to Deuteronomy chapter 30 as we get into the second part of the Land Covenant. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 10, now Moses lays out the provisions of the Land Covenant itself. All these provisions center around the thought that after a period of worldwide scattering, Israel will be returned to the land. After a period of worldwide scattering, Israel will be returned to the land. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. So it shall be, when all of these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and that's of course a reference to the blessings and cursings of the Mosaic Covenant, and you call them to mind in all the nations where the Lord your God has banished you. So there's that indication that this is a worldwide regathering, because we have been banished to many, many nations. And you return, verse 2, and you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul according to all that I command you today, you and your sons. So we see in verse 2 that while in this worldwide captivity, the nation will repent. The nation will repent of unfaithfulness. Then comes verses 3 and 4. Then, here's the result of this repentance, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you, and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. So you see, in response to this repentance, the Lord will regather Israel. And did you note again in verses 3 and 4 that this is a worldwide regathering? Verse 3, he will gather you from the peoples, plural. If your outcasts, verse 4, are at the ends of the earth, he will regather us. So you see, this is a worldwide regathering of the Jewish people in verses 3 and 4. Then in verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5, the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. So the result of God regathering the Jewish people will be a possession of the land and a prospering in the land. Then in verse 6, moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul in order that you may live. So the next provision of the land covenant is that Israel will be regenerated. Israel will be born again. And then finally, the covenant closes in verses 7 through 10, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 7 through 10. The Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you and persecute you. And you shall again obey the Lord and observe all his commandments which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Finally, in verses 7 through 10, Israel will receive the full blessings of God. Specifically, these are the blessings of the Messianic kingdom. Moses closes in verses 11 through 20 by once more exhorting Israel to enter into this covenant with an honest and sincere heart. So if we summarize the Abrahamic covenant, we could summarize it into three essential provisions. There's the promise of the land. That's number one. There's the promise of the seed, number two. And there's the promise of spiritual blessings. And remember, what the land covenant reaffirms is the land promise of the Abrahamic covenant. No failure under the Mosaic law will render God's promises under the Abrahamic covenant null and void. The Abrahamic covenant is eternal and is unconditional. It will find eventual fulfillment. Now, what's the point of going through this? The point is this. I've established the validity of Zionism from the scriptures. The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have been given title deed to the land of Israel. I'd like to illustrate that with a personal illustration. And this personal illustration centers around a property I owned, a house I owned in Portland, Oregon. We bought that house when we were living in Portland, Oregon, from a man named Mr. Johnson. He was the previous owner. And in the same way, there was a previous owner to the land of Israel. These were the Canaanites, Genesis 15, verses 17 through 21. The Canaanites are listed there. So this little piece of property in the Mideast had a previous owner, just as my little piece of property in Portland, Oregon, had a previous owner, Mr. Johnson. Well, then a title deed to the land was created and signed. And I signed my title deed with Mr. Johnson and with the with Multnomah County up there in Portland, Oregon. And the Jewish people signed a title deed to the land from the Lord our God. The Lord himself signed the title deed to the land of Canaan. And so there was a new owner. The new owner of this little plot of land in the Middle East is now Israel. Israel's the new owner of the land, and Bob Morris and Susan Morris became the new owners of this little plot of land and house in Portland, Oregon. We possess the title deed, proof of our ownership. We own the land, and the title deed is the Abrahamic covenant for that little bit of land in the Mideast. The title deed I owned was a little piece of paper that was filed in Multnomah County, Oregon. Well, we lived in that land for a while. We lived in that little home in Portland, Oregon, just as Israel lived in the land for a while. And then we decided to leave that little plot of land in Portland, Oregon, and move down to California. And so we left. And Israel also was left their plot of land. And this leaving of the plot of land was due to disobedience. 2,000 years ago, we were cast into the diaspora. We were scattered all over the world, so we were out of the land. Most of us were out of the land. The vast majority of Israel was out of the land, just as Susan and I were no longer residents of our land in Portland, Oregon. We were now residents of California, and the Jewish people were residents of nations all over the world. Now, we didn't leave our little plot of land in Portland, Oregon, barren. We rented it out, and so there were temporary renters that lived in our home and on our land in Portland for a couple of years. And in a same kind of way, when the Jewish people were out of their land, there were temporary residents that came in to the Holy Land, to our property, and settled down there for a temporary amount of time. But you know, since I have title, I had title deed to that land in Portland, Oregon, even though I lived in California, it would have been perfectly proper for me to return to my land. And that didn't happen. We eventually sold that land to the temporary renters. But at any time, we could have returned to our land, to our little plot in Portland, Oregon, and asked the renters to leave, and we could have moved back into our home. Why? Because it was our home. Why? Because that little lot was our lot. We had the title deed to it. The people that were living on that land were temporary renters. And you know, the same is true today. There were temporary residents, a few of them, a little bit of them, in the land during the diaspora. They none of them stayed in there very long. They came and went. And it's perfectly proper for the Jewish people to return to their land in the Middle East. And that's exactly what has happened. The Jewish people have returned to their land in the Middle East. And why? Why is it proper for the Jewish people to return? Because we have the title deed. And that's exactly what the Abrahamic covenant is. It's the title deed to the land, illustrated by any property that you buy and sell in your own life. If you've purchased a home and rented it out, left it, rented it out, and moved back to it, nobody would argue that you have done something improper. Well, that's exactly what the Jewish people have done with their land. So the deed to the land means that the land is ours, whether we occupy it or not. Whether it be that little piece of land in Portland, Oregon, or whether it be the little tiny piece of land in the Middle East along the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The land is ours by title deed, by right, whether we occupy it or not. In fact, it's just been predicted in Scripture, in the Scriptures that I've just covered, that there will be a time of worldwide dispersion out of the land followed by a regathering. And so the modern Zionist movement, which is so important to the subject we'll be looking at in this course, is a brief look at that regathering, that Zionist movement. So the Zionist movement and Zionism, the return of the Jewish people to the land, is not limited to some subjective emotion. It's emotional. It definitely is emotional. We long for the land. But Zionism is not limited to that. Zionism is much more than that. Zionism is backed by biblical support. Zionism and the Jewish return to our homeland is an important part of the plan of God for this world. This first regathering is a very important part of the plan of God for this world. Well, at this point, I'd like to move on and consider the prophetic significance of this worldwide regathering that we call modern Israel. Why is it so important? Bob, you've been saying it's a big deal. Why is it so important to the plan of God? So we'll be looking at the prophetic significance of the first regathering. This is not a study in eschatology of the end time, so I will be brief, and I will cover only a few points of major interest at this time. If you would like to look at this subject in detail, I would recommend the book Footsteps of the Messiah by Dr. Arnold G. Fruchtenbaum of Ariel Ministries. Let me repeat that. If you would like to look at this in detail, I would recommend very highly the book Footsteps of the Messiah by Dr. Arnold G. Fruchtenbaum, published and sold by Ariel Ministries in Tustin, California. And you can contact Hadavar Messianic Ministries. We sell that book. If you would like to contact Hadavar Messianic Ministries, we would be very happy to get that book to you. Okay, let's move on to the prophetic significance then of the first regathering. The first topic that I would like to talk about under this title, Prophetic Significance, is the Russian invasion of Israel. That's the first point I want to cover. And the important chapters are chapters 38 and 39 of the book of Ezekiel. Those chapters describe an invasion of Israel from the north and the subsequent destruction of the invading forces once they reach the mountains of Israel. This event has not yet occurred. This event has not yet occurred. We've not seen that yet. So in regard to the modern state, there are a number of prophetic events that have taken place or need to take place. For example, the prophetic events that have taken place in regard to the modern state of Israel are World War I and World War II. World War I marks the beginning of the end times. Then we had to see in a reestablishment of the State of Israel, and that occurred right after World War II. And finally, for many prophecies to come to pass, we needed to see Jerusalem under Jewish control, and that has occurred already. Jerusalem is under Jewish control today. But there are a number of prophetic events that have not taken place. The Russian invasion of Israel has to occur. A one-world government has to come about. There has to be a 10 kingdoms have to arise out of that one-world government. The Antichrist needs to arise. Then there needs to be a period of peace and false security. And then a seven-year covenant has to be signed. That seven-year covenant begins the tribulation period itself. So those are some events that have not taken place that we can put in a chronological sequence. There are three other events that we can't place chronologically, and that's a worldwide blackout, the return of Elijah the prophet, and the building of the third temple. So as we look at the prophetic events that have not yet taken place, the next one we should expect, the next one we should look at and expect would be the Russian invasion of Israel. That's the one we should anticipate. I should say that these prophetic events that have not taken place, the one that I'm not including is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church could occur at any time, and we don't know when that would take place. All we know is that it could happen at any moment. Now, I'm asked on a regular basis about the significance of the events transpiring in the Middle East today, and my answer is always the same. My answer is always this: the events that we see today are setting the stage for the Russian invasion of Israel. Exactly how they will play into that, we cannot say. All we can say is that the events we observe today are preparing the way for the Russian invasion of Israel. Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. That's all I want to say about that, the Russian invasion. Again, if you want more details on that, buy the book Footsteps of the Messiah from Hadavar Messianic Ministries, and you'll get that information in detail. The next point I want to cover deals with the name of this class, and this is the first regathering of the Jewish people. God reveals to us through the prophet Isaiah, that the nation of Israel will experience two worldwide regatherings. The first worldwide regathering will be for the purpose of judgment. And this specifically will be the judgment of the tribulation period, the judgment of the time known in Tanakh as the time of Jacob's trouble. The tribulation period and the time of Jacob's trouble are identical. Then there will be a second worldwide regathering, and that second worldwide regathering will be for the purpose of blessing. Specifically, it'll be for the blessings of the Messianic Kingdom. That's a summary of what we're going to look at. So let's take a look at this in a little bit more detail. The sections of Scripture that relate to this issue are Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 through 38. Also, Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 17 through 22. And Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. So let's begin by reading Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 through 38. Now, Ezekiel is going to be about the middle of your Bible. If you go to the middle of your Bible, you're going to run into the Psalms. Then as you keep going to the right, you'll come to Isaiah. And then you'll come to Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then you will come to Ezekiel. So go to the middle of your Bible and keep going right. You'll see Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then you'll come to Ezekiel. Now I'd like you to stop on Ezekiel chapter 20. I'm getting there myself. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 through 38. Ezekiel 20, 33. Let's read that. "As I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you. I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you were scattered. With a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. And I shall bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I shall enter into judgment with you face to face. as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I shall make you pass under the rod, and I shall bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I shall purge from you the rebels and those who transgress against me, and I shall bring them out of the land where they sojourn. But they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. Now, Dr. Fruchtenbaum, in his book Footsteps of the Messiah, summarizes the significance of this passage, and let me quote a one paragraph by Dr. Fruchtenbaum, and I quote, God will enter, will regather his people from all over the world where they have been scattered. That this gathering is not in faith but in unbelief is seen from the fact that this gathering is, quote, with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and wrath poured out, unquote. This phrase is repeated twice and is found in verses 33 and 34. This regathering in unbelief occurs after wrath has been poured out on the people. It is no accident that out of the fires of the Nazi Holocaust the state of Israel was born. Once this gathering has taken place, God will enter into judgment with his people, namely the tribulation judgments. By means of these judgments, the rebels will be purged out. Then there will be a whole new nation, a regenerated nation, that will be able to enter the Messianic land of Israel under King Messiah. But this passage clearly speaks of a regathering in unbelief in preparation for judgment. That's Dr. Fruchtenbaum's summary of Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 through 38. Now, the key passage dealing with a worldwide regathering in preparation for blessing is Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. So I want you to turn back to Isaiah 11. So back up, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Jeremiah, then you come to Isaiah. Keep going left, and you will eventually come to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12 will be the key verses there. We've seen in Ezekiel that Israel will be gathered from all over the world in unbelief. Now Isaiah 11:11 is a key section of scripture to look at to place these regatherings chronologically. Let's take a look at Isaiah 11 verse 11. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand. Did you notice verse 11? Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamat, and from the islands of the sea. And he will lift up a standard for the nations, and assemble the banished ones of Israel, and will gather the dispersed of Judah from where? From the four corners of the earth. And again, let me quote Dr. Fruchtenbaum as he summarizes Isaiah 11, 11, and 12. And I quote, the regathering spoken of in this passage is the one in faith in preparation for the millennial kingdom. But this regathering in faith is specifically stated to be the second international regathering. The question this raises is, when did the first one occur? It cannot refer to the Babylonian return, as that was hardly international as the text demands. Hence, the first international regathering is the one which would be in preparation for judgment. Hence, it is clear that this passage speaks of two international regatherings while emphasizing the second one. End of quote. It's the first worldwide regathering that we see today that will experience the Russian invasion. In addition, the worldwide regathering that we see today is the first regathering, the regathering in unbelief, the regathering for judgment, the judgment of the tribulation period. That's a very important concept that we understand here based on Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. There will be two worldwide or international regatherings, one in unbelief for judgment, one in belief for blessing, indicated by Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. Okay, let's move on to the third prophetic importance of the first regathering. Here I want to deal with the blessings of the Mosaic Covenant. I want to say something about the blessings of the Mosaic Covenant. Many believers, especially those of Christian Zionist persuasion, and some fellow Messianic Jews like myself, will take serious issue with the following remarks that I'm about to make. However, if you look at what the Scripture says and compare what is happening in the land of Israel today, I think you'll tend to agree with the remarks I'm about to make. I think you'll tend to agree with me. And what I want to say is this. The modern state of Israel is not experiencing the blessings of the Mosaic Covenant today. Rather, we are experiencing the curses of the covenant today. And why do I say that? Why do I say we're experiencing the curses of the Mosaic Covenant? Well, let's look at the blessing sections of Scripture. Let's look at the blessings of the covenant. Deuteronomy 28. Turn back. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Let's stop at Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the blessings of the covenant are in verses 1 through 14 of Deuteronomy 28. Let's start with Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now, first of all, let me note that the Mosaic Covenant is conditional. If the Jewish people obey God, then these blessings will shower down. If the Jewish people obey God, then we'll see the blessings of the covenant. But the modern state of Israel is basically a secular state today. 90% of the Israelis and 90% of the worldwide Jewish community, 90% are atheists or agnostics. And 99% of all Israelis have rejected the messiahship of Yeshua. And that percentage is consistent throughout the worldwide Jewish population. 99% of all Israelis and Jewish people have rejected the messiahship of Yeshua. So Israel is not diligently obeying the Lord. And that fact alone, verse 1 alone, should tell us that God is not blessing the nation in the manner intended under the Mosaic Covenant. Furthermore, Israel is not the most exalted nation on the face of the earth today, as verse 1. In fact, she is the most reviled nation on the planet today, constantly criticized, constantly attacked verbally and physically today. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 2 through 6 as we continue through the blessings. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, and the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Verse 6. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Now Israel is prospering today. She's the most prosperous nation in the Middle East. However, that prosperity cannot be the prosperity pledged in the Mosaic Covenant, because Israel is a secular nation. Okay, let's read verses 7 through 10. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. And they shall come out against you one way, and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns, and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you. If you keep the commandments which the Lord your God, and walk in his ways, so shall all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And while the nation has experienced miraculous deliverance from her enemies over the past 54 years, the nation is not feared by her enemies. Modern Israel has a very powerful military presence. And that has caused the surrounding nations to treat her with respect, but they stand ready to pounce on any perceived Israeli weakness. The military situation that we see today is hardly what is envisioned under the blessings of the Mosaic Covenant. The military blessings that we see upon Israel today are not the blessings of the Mosaic Covenant. Rather, they are God's blessings to keep the nation from being destroyed. They are God's preservation of the nation, but not the extent of the blessings that we will see under the Mosaic Covenant. Well, I see that our time for session two has run out. So let's bring session two to an end, and we will pick up session three, continuing on in the blessings of the covenant of Deuteronomy 28, verses 11 through 14. We'll pick up there when we come back for session number three.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. It's our aim at Heart of Our Messianic Ministries to deepen your understanding of God's Word and to better equip you to share the Messiahship of Jesus with your Jewish friends, relatives, co-workers, and neighbors. To order additional tapes or for more information, you can contact Heart of Our Messianic Ministries at hadavar@hadavar.org. That's hadavar@hadavar.org. Or write to Heart of Our Messianic Ministries at 14804 Sand Canyon Avenue, Irvine, California, 92618. Or simply call us at 949-559-1701. Again, that number is 949-559-1701. Again, thanks for listening to this audio presentation of the First Regathering Modern Israel, brought to you by Heart of Our Messianic Ministries.